This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Today I have Mike Wilson from Primary Sports Canterbury with me, and we are following on from our last session's sport theme. This time we're talking about balance and why balance is better when it comes to sport, or probably actually anything, and how much is too much sport, how little is too little sport, what's the big deal if my kid is really super active and sporty, and how do we manage in all of this. Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Kate. We work in the parenting space.
And it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology. Hey, Mike.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah.
So nice to have you with me. Thank you for being here. I think this is a really important thing at the moment, given the season of winter sports, and, you know, and also I think that it's a good time to reflect on this stuff as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you've also got a good time in that sort of potential crossover, the lag of summer kind of bleeding into a bit of winter, and, yeah. and we've just experienced some time that balance can be hard.
Yes, that's true. And the winter tiredness sitting in too, and wondering why we signed up for this. no reason. I'm commenting on that. So talk to me about balance is better. I know that there's a bunch of there's principles behind this. There'll be research behind this. Tell me what you know.
Yeah, cool. So it's a huge topic, really. Sport NZ's put a lot of time and energy.
Yeah.
And obviously money into this.
Yeah.
It is an evidence-based piece of work.
Yeah.
So it's important to kind of layer that in. Yep. It's not just people, you know, feeling good, trying to change the world. It comes from evidence. And it is all designed to give our tamariki, one, a better experience now, but also a longer experience. It's to try and set them up for their future participation as well.
Beautiful. Sport New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
That's a banner organisation that sets the kind of bar?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of refer to them as our guiding light,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
They're who we look to if we're in the sport and rec sector.
Yeah.
The active rec, the physical activity, the play, the whatever language you want to use. If you're out being active, they are who we look to to give us guidance.
Okay, cool. And they work across all sport in New Zealand, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And then have links from, you know, High Performance Sport NZ to the recreational community kind of space as well.
Cool. Okay. Great. That gives me some context onto, you know, and it's interesting that this is where this message is coming from.
Exactly. And they're leveraging off a lot of our very, very high-performing athletes to reinforce these principles.
Interesting.
And to reiterate kind of their experience as young people and what the value aligning to these types of principles is.
So tell me why balance is better in a in a succinct way, please.
How long have we got? No. No, very simply put.
Yeah.
We know there's a few kind of clear and obvious principles. Within the nine, there are nine principles listed within it, but there's a few that kind of stand out.
Yeah.
And we know that if our experience for young people is inclusive, if it's fair and if it's safe, they're more likely to come back.
Nice.
And obviously have a good experience now.
Yeah.
If our experience and our environment for young people is linked to developing their ability, their skills, as opposed to winning or as opposed to the result.
Yeah.
So it's inclusive and it's about development.
Yeah.
They're more likely to have fun. They're more likely to get better.
Okay.
They're more likely to play again later.
You're listening to Being Real Parents with Kate and Anna on Plains FM 96.9.
So what I'm hearing is this isn't about kids playing too much or too little sport.
There is one principle around that, funnily enough. So that one is around loading. So So this is where, and I'm no trained expert in this, but to talk very generally,
yeah.
we know that young bodies are in huge growth and development phases.
Yeah.
And if we do too much,
yeah.
it can have negative physical impacts.
Okay.
Let alone all the emotional and social, if
yeah.
I can talk.
Yeah.
yeah, let alone those things. But if we talk physically, if we're loading our children with too much, it can have negative impacts.
Yeah.
So there is that side as well.
Yeah.
Then we talk about things like, are we working with young people to make the environments fit for them?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we making adult decisions and replicating adult programs mm-hmm. all the way down to our 6, 7, 8-year-olds?
Okay.
Are we selecting on talent, yes. perceived talent and ability, yes.
yeah.
right from our young ages, when I would put out there that their ability to perform, if we use that horrible word, is inconsistent at best. And they turn up week to week and they'll perform very differently.
Yeah.
So how we select representative teams or talent squads or academies at young ages is, very challenging.
Yeah, right.
And if you talk to a lot of those high-performance athletes, they'll talk about missing out on junior rep teams or not even playing the code they're playing at high performance as a child anyway. So
that's true. You do yeah. often hear them talk about adversity when it comes to their own sport and what their actual experts, professionals are.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we talk, you know, again, no expert, but we talk about the maturation rate,
yeah.
physical development.
Yeah.
So blatantly in contact sports, for example, if you develop earlier, you're going to be more successful when you're younger. But your plateau
yeah.
might come earlier, and you may not develop actually as much over your development period. You know, so there's all those types of things that reinforce talent ID at young ages is, one, very hard to do.
Yeah.
But secondly, and most importantly, there's no correlation between junior representative teams and senior professional or high-performing athletes.
Wow.
You know, and I think lots of people get lost in the end of spectrum.
Yeah.
They'll say, yeah, but Tiger Woods was playing golf and he was 5 years old.
He's the marker, isn't he, in
and
our own
mind. We don't even need to talk about the other side outside of the game, but is that what you want to pin it on?
Yeah.
Or your individual sports often get it,
yeah.
your Andre Agassi story or your Serena Williams story or your Usain Bolt story. But they're all the exception to rules often.
Yeah, they're outliers, which is why they're in the media.
100%.
Yeah.
The media don't, and for obvious reasons, don't talk about the 99,000 people that were also playing golf at 5 years old that aren't now being paid to play golf.
Yeah, got it.
Because they might have played just to have some fun.
Yeah.
And they might still play a little bit here and, you know, so it's that. Talent ID, don't do it.
Love that.
Yeah. And then just lots around just that variety piece is another one.
Yeah.
Give lots of first experiences. We talked in the last one around that transferable skill set thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch someone striking, so if they're hitting a cricket ball, if they're hitting a hockey ball, if they're serving or hitting with their hand in, say, volleyball, you know, striking's kind of transferable across a lot of sports. So, yeah, a lot of variety allows for future participation.
That is such an interesting point, and I know that we made it in our last session together, but there's that, you know, like I myself got caught on how children, well, you know, as we've been saying, children kind of seem to specialise in a sport too early, and I didn't recognise or realise that children could play multiple sports and learn basically the same skills.
Yeah. And I think it also links to that, what we've alluded to around the environment is the key. Like, so much of the positive experience comes from the people, not the technical of the sport. So, and there are just so many options out there now. There are so many, which can be daunting.
Yeah.
There are so many sporting options.
Yeah.
Every night of the week, there's weekends, there's, you know, during school time, there's all these different sports. So, I think the balance piece is actually really, really relevant.
Yes, and it's interesting. I mean, I'm kind of caught on this idea that balance means that, when I talk about balance, I always talk about cupcakes and yoga.
Yes, I love that too.
In order that, we know that we need downtime, we need to, allow ourselves sort of freedom in this, just like we do our kids.
Mm.
Perfect makeup for an active kid? Come on, there's got to be. Give me that schedule.
Oh, Lord. I honestly, there isn't one, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think if I was to say there was, would be very naive because our children are so different.
Yeah.
And the child that gets real meaning
from
being in structured sport often is not the same as the child that gets no meaning from structured sport, but absolutely loves riding their bike on a bike track or sitting on a horse or chasing a kite, So to me, the one guiding thing that is so important is there is time to do, and it's not always led by the adult.
Yes, that's a really good point. And almost like our job as adults is to key into our children with regard to that. So it might be, as you say, that they, it gives them real joy to do these things, and so they might want to be doing them more often, right?
Completely.
But if we are dragging our kids...
That's it. If we're the ones setting the alarm, if we're the one taking the, the duvet off to get them up to go to that training...
Yeah.
Is it really worth it?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And then, we have to come back to if their experience of it isn't in any way fulfilling or is just mildly fulfilling at the end of, the hour of training, it's not enough, is it?
No, not at all. I reflect even on my own engagement in sport. And I was really fortunate. I stumbled across an amazing human to do some training programs for me. And he was a high-performance athlete, phenomenal, winning world event, crazy.
Yeah.
And I kicked myself that I kind of didn't keep in touch. But his resounding thing was, we have to make sure your training's fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know that when you come to race day, it's going to be a hard day because you're going to be trying really hard. But training needs to be enjoyable.
Mm.
We don't want you to hate getting out the door.
Mm.
Because what type of environment is that for the next 3 months before the event?
Yeah.
So I kind of, that was an eye-opener to me in this space at Primary Sports Canterbury, but also for my own children, that we do actually just want them to turn up because that's the fun bit. We don't want to be geared up to playing the game and winning every time, like that's the only reason we train, or we only go to the park with you to kick the ball around because you'll be a better footballer when you go to training and then you'll make a better team. It's actually just, we do it because it's really kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Then also there's the, kids who, we're talking now about sort of kids that potentially are overactive, and overactive because they want to be and they love it, or overactive because we're making them. no judgment. And then there's the kids also who potentially are kind of underactive.
Mm.
So when we're talking about balance, how would we support them? What would we look for, key into?
For the under?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's often kind of dramatised a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think for obvious reasons, the screen time thing and the lack of social interaction thing and all those types of kind of obvious reasons, the physical health side.
Mm.
But if we can make habits...
Yeah.
Around being active, and that's as much as walking.
Yeah.
If we're going from true sedentary, if we can make it a habit to walk somewhere, not get in the car.
Yeah.
Or to park slightly further away, or use stairs, not lifts. Like that's a real easy, I think, starting point theoretically.
Yeah.
And it might then kind of snowball into those other types of things if we can take a scooter with us for a child rather than a pram. When they're young.
Yeah.
Those just making kind of active choices.
Yeah.
And then I guess as they get older and it's not quite like those, their choices are their choices a little bit more, It's how we tap, I think, it's how we tap into their own motivations.
Mm.
What motivates them to do what they do do? Is it that they're getting a social connection through gaming that we could replicate in an active environment?
Yeah.
Or are they getting the excitement out of the books that they're reading that we could maybe replicate in other environments? So, yeah, I think it's knowing the individual and trying to kind of replicate that motivation in other places.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. So I always have this thing when my when I feel like we've just spent too much time in our rooms or in front of screens of just getting the ball out and seeing what happens. And, I also know, too, that wherever the fun is, kids want to be involved, you know. So you can't help but sniff out where that laughter's coming from, hey?
And, so true.
Doing that sort of thing. And having, you know, and I say get the ball out, but there's no game associated with that. Mm. It's just kind of what comes and allowing that to turn into whatever it is, yeah.
It's pretty cool, isn't it, as well, seeing where young people take games?
Yeah. I
reflect when I was teaching in primary classrooms and the amount of random but really effective because they worked.
Yeah.
You know, the group of tamariki, they were doing stuff.
Yeah.
I had no idea how or why.
Yeah.
But they had manipulated the different things and created their own little guidelines or rules and
everyone knew. Yeah, complex rules sometimes, yeah.
But they were all in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, how cool. Bottle that.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah, it's the things that everyone can join in on in terms of activity, isn't it? It's like they're being, you know, removing the barriers.
Are there models that our young people are seeing? Is it actually an expectation that we impose or hope for?
Mm.
Or is it something we just live?
Yeah.
You know, is going to the park a normal thing?
Yeah.
Is walking to school, not driving, a normal thing?
Yeah.
And not all these things are possible in all contexts, but, yeah, is it actually something that we're embodying too?
Yeah.
Without preaching?
Quite. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So what are we modelling in it? Yeah.
Yeah. Not to burden us as parents either, because we've got a lot on the plate.
Yeah. Or even, I was just thinking too, scheduling kind of outside time, you know, rather than, scheduling in or, you know, how you have a set routine after school or whenever it is or for the weekends or just scheduling in time where, devices aren't available or the TV's off or I'm harking back to being told so often as a kid to go outside and play.
Yes. So true.
And what that would turn into, and our kids might need some support with that now.
Yeah. And also some freedom.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'm bad for this at times, but, you know, are they creating a mess or are they being getting dirty or are they, you know, like those things?
So
like, gosh, is it more washing or...
That's so true.
That stuff that can almost inhibit, and whether we're actively saying it or sort of subconsciously layering that in on them.
Yeah.
And then I found another thing that, is there a way of sharing the after-school thing? Having a friend over and they're not going to sit on a device... Well, they might, but, you know, they might
you can
also.
Remove that.
That's it. And then having a friend that might interact in a low-level way that's either very active or not so active.
Yeah.
But, you know, it might be providing those different things as well.
Yeah. That's why the pool key is a great idea. Or the, or just spending that extra time after school, if you have that available, where they play on the playground or, you know, the ball is out and they're on the field and you're talking to other parents, that kind of thing is a good way to do it too. Or, you know, spending extra time at the park because it's not just about the place, it's also about the people and the experience that can be had, hey?
Completely. And I think coming back to... not trying to hijack it back to my sporting context.
No,
but,
I'm so sorry. You can so do that.
No.
Given you're my guess.
Coming back to that, though, I think the balance that we get from providing those free child-led playing opportunities compared to that structured sporting environment, one, it develops them.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazingly beneficial.
Yeah.
But it also allows the different characteristics, different interactions. You know, I balance mentally as well. I don't need to be the best at anything. I'm not worried about doing things right or developing my skills. I'm just doing.
Yeah.
So it's a real cool balance there that we're not all about structure.
Yeah, true. So while we're talking sports, we're also talking the balance of, you know, structure versus free play. Yeah. And how they also support each other.
Yeah.
Because that's a thing, isn't it, with I think we should kind of have those be inside of the same realm as well. One, because I think it takes the pressure off us as parents to either spend a lot of our time and focus in sport
mm-hmm.
and not enough time in free play and mm-hmm. vice versa.
Completely.
Well.
Completely. And for me, blurring that line so that actually play, active rec, physical activity, sport, they're just being active.
Yeah.
And if your whānau sits in the play space 90% of the time
mm.
and only a touch into that structure, then, hey, all good. You know, but likewise, the other end of that spectrum, I'm with you. It's about providing the environments for young people to thrive.
I want to ask you one quick question before we end, and mm-hmm. it's about, and I don't know if this sits here, but I really want to ask it, and it's about the everyone's a winner these days.
Yeah.
Because that's about balance, isn't it? It's that thing about, no, we've all got to win these days. This is what I hear, and, you know, and then opposite to that we've got, it's great that everybody gets a chance to win and feel thoughts.
Yeah. So we intentionally have competitive environments where we value winning.
Yeah.
Because that's a real part of playing sport. It's a real part of growing up and a real part of being resilient and trying your best.
Mm-hmm.
What we're really conscious of is we need to be able to celebrate many types of success or many types of winning, but success.
Yeah.
So that we don't want to get rid of competitiveness.
No.
We don't want to undervalue that young person that came first.
Yeah.
Because they've done, no doubt, a lot of work and tried their hardest and deserve celebration. But what we don't want to do is leave everyone else with a lack of dignity and respect because they aren't first.
Mm.
So we want to value things like, are you supportive? Are you encouraging? Are you humble? All those types of human behaviours that we can all do, irrespective of our ability.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really interesting way to think about it because I've often heard, we don't do that in maths and English. Yeah. But what happens inside of that learning is that you do have top students inside of that, but along the way, the teacher, or in the case of sports, the coach, also is valuing and seeing the strengths and capacity mini goals for everyone along the way.
And hopefully you're hearing a coach celebrate that person that made a good tackle, that person that pass the ball well, that person that was supportive of someone, you know. So there's all that celebration happening too, and we're not reliant on the score at the final whistle.
Love it. I've asked Mike to do the top tips here because there's some real research and reasoning behind these that I'm unaware of, and he's so succinct. I'm putting this together. Do you like that?
Well, I'll try. So what I've tried to do is put this balance is better, the nine principles, into three clear pieces of balance or forms of balance. So starting with our attitudes, how are we thinking about our engagement in being active? How are we reflecting on our own thoughts and processes? Whose needs are being met? All our attitudes, is it okay to be competitive? Are we learning? Are we just having fun?
Mm.
So balance your attitudes.
Mm.
Secondly, around the balance of the loading imposed on our young people.
Mm.
So how intense is the activity that they're doing? How much time are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
So what load are we putting on their bodies, mm-hmm. both physically and mentally?
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, what sort of balance and variety of activity are we doing?
Mm.
Are we playing all the same sport for 12 months of the year? Are we all structured sport? Are we play? Are we active rec? Are we riding a bike as well?
Mm.
So having variety. So balancing attitude, balancing our load, and balancing the variety.
Beautiful. That makes sense to me.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal. It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing. Bye.